Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
It is a civil war, a rebellion, that we are living in a part of the universe occupied by the rebel.
But God is ultimately for us.
And don't worry about the rest. He's got the rest sorted out.
Well, Monday, December 11th,
yes.
And we are thrilled to welcome back to Kingdom Culture Conversations, Dr. Amy Yoder.
Yes.
Hello.
And Amy is just for the last few weeks, folks, if you're just tuning in, she has been kind of just walking us through the research that has served as the basis for not just her doctoral dissertation in at Grand Canyon University, but has also served as the reason that she is the first postdoctoral fellow at Grand Canyon University employed by the journal Christian School Management to do research, to continue the valuable research that she started with her dissertation, and she is just nailing it. It's been so fun to take the things that she's learning and researching about our students and then giving that to us as administrators and teachers, helping us to really refine the craft of biblical worldview immersion and spiritual formation, worldview development. So, Amy, welcome back. It's December 11th. You're 2 weeks out from the day from Christmas. What's your family looking forward to for Christmas?
I think I'm looking forward to having all four of my kids under the same roof. I have two in college, so it has been hard not having them all home at once, but I will be enjoying family dinners again together because we'll all be forced to be home together.
Now, Ryland is your oldest.
Nope,
youngest,
Tanner.
Middle.
Tanner, that's right.
Tanner's
the
oldest.
Tanner's the oldest, and then Ryland.
Okay, and then so Tanner's a freshman, sophomore.
Tanner's a
He's almost a junior at GCU. So,
he'd
be a sophomore. Enrollment. Yes, he'd be a sophomore, and Ryland's a freshman at GCU.
Okay.
And Tanner's an RA, so he had to work over Thanksgiving break.
Oh,
but now that GCU is closing the dorms for Christmas, I am bound to get both of my boys home. So I'm excited for that.
So great.
That's exciting. Gee, what about you? 2 weeks out to Christmas, you got your shopping done?
Well, I don't do a lot, but yeah, I do.
The little bit that I'm responsible for
is done. Yeah, awesome. And again, we're recording this in November, November 30th. So yeah,
Erica's on it though.
Erica's you know that. You know that, Dr. Yoder. Yeah, so my wife takes good care of that. And I'm like you, kind of my son, having RJ home for a few days. Mm-hmm. He lives over with some guys now, and Cody Angel and Ben Ogan, and great guys, and just seeing the family together again like we have for Thanksgiving is something I look forward to. And
pretty special.
Emma Brown coming home for
Emma
Christmas?
Brown will be home for Christmas. She is coming home, I think, on the 19th.
Okay.
And she's bringing home
Case,
a young man.
Yes!
Yeah.
Some Yahoo that she found in Virginia.
Yeah.
He's fabulous from what I've heard.
Yeah, I've met him. He's
fabulous.
Yeah.
He's all right.
He's all right.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, he can take all of Emma's directions, guidelines. Yeah. Like, this is a winner.
No, he is a winner. He's, and we're very happy to to see him come home.
Yeah.
For the holidays. I'm looking forward to that. So all that being said, Case, we love you.
Yeah.
We love you. So what we've been doing in these last several episodes is taking the research that Dr. Yoder has been putting forward. And again, she's been commissioned by a Christian school management journal to really dig down into the lives of high school students and figure out what spiritual formation strategies are working and which ones maybe, I hate to say it this way, but I'm going to say it so we can be pragmatic, which ones aren't working as well. And as a school then, we would take that information responsibly as stewards of our parents give the best 8 hours of their students' day, 180 days a year, and that's a huge investment. And so we want to make sure that we are employing spiritual formation strategies that have maximum effectiveness.
Right.
And if there are strategies that are not working as well or aren't as critical, then we need to dial those back. The resources should be better applied elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And in our last episode, we took a look at an area where the data showed that we've fallen down a little bit, right? So mm-hmm. we've got a whole bunch of areas, and we'll look at those that we've celebrated. But in the area that we discussed last episode,
evangelism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an area where we reflected and said, okay, not as strong. Not as strong. And so let's take a moment. And, you know, what we did was we looked at these 60 questions administered to students. Every single high school student answered these six. And you did interviews. You did all sorts of mm-hmm. other things. But what we're really dialing into today is the 60 questions that were one of your surveys. And, folks, you can access not just the question, but you can also gain access to the results if you go to our show notes page and look at that. And what we did is we kind of grouped these questions into, I guess the best way to put it is we put them into areas where we're seeing positive trends and negative trends.
Mm-hmm.
And the positive trends, fantastic. But what I really want to do today is I want to look at the 13.3% of the questions where we saw at least two red flags,
mm-hmm.
where either the participation was diminishing or the negative participation was increasing. And so here they are. I'm going to read down the list. These are eight areas where we fell down the hardest over the course of the last several years. And the first one, maybe we'll go through these one at a time mm-hmm. and reflect on them. Number one, I believe that Christ provides the only way for a relationship with God. That's
wow.
interesting to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what do we have the red trend in that one? Was it just lower than it was before, or was it?
Yeah, we can go back and look at that specific
question.
One.
Number six.
So, question number six, you want to read those percentages specifically?
The red percentages, we went from 1.82% as seldom up to 2.16, and in always, we went from 79.48 to 79.38.
So very light red, if you mm-hmm. will, but not.
But
now we're looking for it, red nonetheless.
We're seeing, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, I think, and again, those numbers are skewed very heavily in a positive direction,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've got the lion's share of students on our campus understand
yeah.
that when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The majority, yeah. the vast majority of mm-hmm. students on our campus understand that. I think the alarming thing is that we live in a culture where there is this increasing notion of truth mm-hmm. as being something that isn't fixed.
Correct.
That truth is variable.
Right.
And so, therefore, your truth and my truth lead us to different destinations, and there are many ways
mm-hmm.
by which we can ascend the mountain and come to God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
When, in fact, Scripture points out, no, there's not. There's one way. His name is Jesus. Do you know him or do you not? And so, wow, thoughts
I mean,
on that.
We could actually connect that back to the evangelism mm. piece. You know, if kids aren't able to identify, you know, that there's one right way to God, are we presenting the gospel clear enough so that they understand? I mean, I don't know, I'm just speculating, but I feel like, you know, some of these areas that we are weakest in, a lot of them stem from that evangelism piece of knowing the gospel and being able to share the gospel.
Yeah, I agree. And this question, though, number six, I see encouragement, though. I mean, we have 95% of our kids, at least are in that occasionally, frequently, always. There's only 2.2% that don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not, like, super alarmed by this red flag, if you will. But I do think the voices in our kids, that's why I'm glad we're doubled down on worldview, because while we are a very big voice in the English classroom, in the Bible classroom, in the chapels, in the whatever, parents are a big voice. They also have many, many more voices than you and I had when we were yeah. little ones.
Technology.
Technology. And again, not to be that police again, but they are being discipled by many more things than we were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm going to say, okay, that one in 40 kid,
Yeah.
You know, do we know his name or her name?
That's a good question.
And are we investing? You know, that kid matters as much
absolutely
as the other 39. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to go out there. That's the one in 99 that Jesus' parable speaks yeah. to. And the other thing that's somewhat discouraging, and I appreciate your point about encouragement of the overall numbers, but discouraging is that we have this free fall in culture where, you know, again, it's all the different paths will lead to glory mm-hmm. is yeah. the way the world would have us to believe. Well, if our trend line may not be in the same steep decline, it is at least in a form in decline.
Well,
so we've got to address yeah. that. We've
I would wonder what the culture number is for that question.
Sure.
What the culture was in spring of 2016 of they believe Jesus Christ is the only way for relationship with God to now.
Yeah.
And I would say it's probably just from no data, just kind mm-hmm. of a vibe. I think it's dropped significantly.
Correct. I mean, Barna just did a study. I don't know the exact numbers, but it is even, you know, a greater decline.
Yeah. Here's the hard thing, though. You know, there are some elements of the Christian faith that are difficult to stomach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, we talk about ECTOTL. Eternal conscious torment of the lost, and this notion that there will be a place where people will be lost eternally, hell. Mm-hmm. That's not a popular discussion in today's culture. It's not even a popular discussion in today's church.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, hell, if you listen and really tear into the Gospels, is as real a place as heaven, which mm-hmm. we love to discuss all the time. And so I think there's that. I think there's also invested here, there's this notion that says, well, you know, are we really saying that Christianity is the only faith that produces an outcome that, yeah. that is good? Are we really dismissing all these other mm-hmm. faiths? Am I turning to my Muslim Islamic neighbor, or am I turning to my Mormon neighbor and saying, yeah. hey, your faith just isn't going to get the job done? Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to say. And yeah. I think it's we live in a culture where it's increasingly difficult to say those things mm-hmm. without getting
yeah.
pulverized, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. And I think yeah. on some level, our students are experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
This next one, Mr. Brown, Dr. Yoder, generally my public self and my private self are the same. We saw a dramatic drop
mm-hmm.
from always from spring of 2016 to fall of 2023. We saw it went from 25% to under 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to keep saying it, but I think that the relationship with our technology, and I saw it when I was younger, an AOL Instant Messenger came out and – hey, what do you look like? Well, I'm 6'4", blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, 180 pounds. Like, everybody mm-hmm. seems to be that way because you could just make up your own persona.
Mm-hmm.
You could be whatever you wanted. That one, this is probably the biggest alarm to me in this whole survey, is that my public self and my private self are not the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is one that I think we have done a good job. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we have. I can point to times where we have addressed this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, and I think maybe the thing we're up against is there are so many different ways today for a student to see the disparity between personal and public self.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many more things that you can do that are hideous in private mm-hmm. today than. You know, I look at pornography. When mm-hmm. when I was a kid, you had to jump through several hoops to get your
right.
hands on a Playboy magazine. But boy, today, so the temptation to have a disparity between public and private self is probably, I would guess, increasing in the culture, and therefore
mm-hmm.
students are. I appreciate the fact that they're honestly saying, yeah, there's a gap mm-hmm. here, because I think that's the first step. Amy, number three is regular participation in group prayer. And that regular participation in group prayer characterizes my prayer life. That I was fascinated that you included that question. What any reason that in particular you called out group prayer as a spiritual formation strategy that you thought would be important?
Well, just pray in general is specific, but like a lot of times when you pray in a group, it can be powerful. And so I guess the point is I'm looking to see, because we do a lot of group prayer here on our campus. We pray for families who are struggling. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for, you know, events happening in the world. We have prayer at the pole. I mean, several times a year, kids are meeting at the prayer pole to pray. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, you know, if we see that happening, does it affect their personal prayer life? The fact that they come together with their peers and even their teachers and we pray, does that help them in their personal prayer life? And to see that it doesn't, it's like, why? I mean, that's something I want to discover in this next study, is like, why is that not effective?
When I look at the results, that it says red, but I don't understand. The question number 27, they improved on the frequently and always of regular participation in group prayer characterizes my prayer life. They went up, it looks like to me. Is that, am I reading it correctly?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they did go up.
We need maybe there's a bug in that.
We need to cross that off.
Those before should be we, green,
he needs
right?
To edit
and
that
the,
up.
And red on the other side.
Maybe before we get down on all these kids for not being. But I think the prayer thing is important for me too, because when we talk about prayer, public prayer, it does require some courage and it requires a degree of confidence. So I think that is important.
You know, obviously, a big thing I do is take kids to Emmy Reese, and we meet out at the Ramadas to pray before we leave. And I kind of talk to kids. I say, hey, praying for safety is great, and we want to do that. We also want to pray for changed hearts and pray. And I go around, and there's usually high schoolers out there and junior hires and parents and teachers and our fourth graders that are part of our kind of missions. Probably they have pen pal situations with the kids in orphanage. And I'll say, who wants to pray? And I have to ask the fourth grade teachers to pick, because I don't want to disappoint anybody, because they're all raising their hands.
Yeah, that's cool. I've
and then
seen
I'll
that.
Say, junior high, who wants to pray? And that it gets a little smaller. Mm-hmm. And then when I say parents, and all of a sudden it's crickets, and I got to find somebody. So that group prayer situation, I don't know, we lose something. We lose maybe some confidence. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the things I don't take it as a compliment when someone says, well, you really pray well.
Yeah.
That's so awkward, because praying in groups is it? Sometimes I'll find myself, am I praying in group to impress somebody, or am I talking to God? Mm-hmm. And wow. So I hope kids, that could be part of them not wanting to play a game. Mm-hmm. Could be a situation there. Do you agree with that? Or
yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is when you look at the questions that were surrounding it, I pray because I am aware of my complete dependence on God for everything in my life.
Gone way up.
I maintain an attitude of prayer throughout the day. There's only, you know, seldom, it only went up a little bit. But then I believe that my prayers impact my life and the lives of others. And then I engage in a daily private prayer time. The fact of the matter is I feel like we are a school who prays for a lot. And kids are seeing those prayers answered. And so I truly do believe that our kids know that there's power in prayer. I mean, we've had teachers get sick. The kids come and pray. We have devastation happen in our community. The kids come and pray.
Yeah.
Like, I'm encouraged that our kids see prayer as powerful, because it is.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. And almost the first, this what we should pray. Let's pray. Yeah.
Well, last one for today, and then we'll come back tomorrow and look at the final four areas where we fell down at least a little bit. But the last one for today, I forgive others when their actions harm me. And yep. You know, that's one where I immediately got self-reflective.
Oh, yeah.
Because I thought, well, isn't that interesting that these knucklehead kids don't always do that? But then I thought to myself, wow, I wonder, is that an area in steep decline in my own life? Am I starting to harbor, you know, grudges? Am I starting to hold a little bit of bitterness in my heart? And again, I see the increasing polarity in culture, and it becomes, I think, increasingly socially acceptable to begrudge people that don't have the same disposition as you. And so I think in all honesty, this question caused me personally to say, yeah, that's something in my own life I'm not handling as well. I need to address that. What are you guys' thoughts?
I mean, and also, I mean, not to be the devil's advocate too much, but sometimes there are some things that are happening to our students or kids, I call them our kids, at ages that are earlier. And so it's like their innocence is taken. There's abuse, there's substances, there's a whole bunch. And so it's very hard to just say to a student, well, just forgive them and move on. And so I do think that there are some things that our kids are exposed to that it's harder to forgive because they are being exposed to at earlier ages, I guess is the fair statement, without being too much in depth to specifics. But, and I do feel that that's a challenge.
Powerful.
To walk with a kid through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a huge challenge. And it's a topic that generates, I mean, we all have people in our mind right now. Mm-hmm. Man, I don't think I can forgive that person. And I one of the things I like to teach students as I kind of walk with that is forgiveness doesn't always mean, and doesn't even, it's not in the same sentence as reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is also more for you than for that person. But I still can't tell someone to do that. I would never, you just need to forgive them. That's something I would never ever say. I would maybe walk with someone, hey, maybe they could get there to forgive that person and to see that it is more for them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I give without being too graphic or anything, there's a lot of things that are hard to forgive. And kids have seen a lot and experienced a lot. And I agree with that. But that forgiveness piece, I think you just have to explore what does that mean? It doesn't mean the old forgive and forget.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not possible for some things that kids are dealing with. But forgive, move on, but protect yourself as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, we're gonna thank you for tuning in today. You are in the midst of a very transparent, very gut-level conversation as we reflect on different spiritual formation strategies within the school and where we're nailing it and where maybe we're falling down a little bit. And I think reflection is a powerful tool, and this has been fascinating. So
we'll see you tomorrow.
You tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll come back tomorrow, December the 12th, a Tuesday, and we'll enjoy the second half of this list. Where we're falling down.
Yeah.
So we'll see you tomorrow, folks.
Right.
Take care. Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.